welcome. Everyone but me. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated and totally medicated island chained nation of New Zealand in the sunny slave South Pacific, where we're all bathed in extra UV radiation, which makes the weed stronger. My very special guest today is Jimmy Hunt. He's an author of an upcoming book, which will be released in June, called A Bit Mental, and he's hosting a dance party kind of water slide thingy, I think. In fact, we'll let him speak for himself. Jimmy, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, well, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're all about, because this is a little bit of a promo spot that we're bringing you on here, which is not normally what we do on the show, so I hope you feel lucky.
Oh, I do. Thank you very much for having me on. Basically, what I do with my friend Dan Drupstein is we have a charity in New Zealand, and it's called Live More Awesome. And basically what we do is we help people with depression get better through natural non-drug means. And we do that by inspiring them to get up, get out, and then we've got ways that we can help them after they're inspired. With natural, just lifestyle changes. And so basically what we're doing on top of that is trying to raise awareness about depression in New Zealand. Like, as you know, we've got an epidemic in this country of depression, which is just, it's baffling, really. You know, we've got it pretty good down here, and yet our rates are the worst. Our suicide rates are the worst, our depression rates are the worst, and so we're trying to do something about that.
Well, see, in the United States, as I mentioned before, we were chatting on Skype, that suicide has now overtaken all other causes of death. It's now the number one cause of death in America. And it's unbelievable, the drugs that they put people who are depressed on. It's like, are you feeling upset? Yeah. They don't ask you, are you satisfied in your job career? They don't ask you, are your friends supportive? They don't ask you if your family situation is okay. They ask you, are you willing to take this drug?
Absolutely. And that's one of the big things that I write about in my book, like you said, coming out in June, but also what we advocate with our charity. And that is the fact that drugs are made by massive pharmaceutical companies, and they actually have no benefit, vested interest in getting you well. They would like to keep you on a drug forever and keep paying them that money. But not only that, is just, it's very, very hard to get off them. The side effects are terrible and they don't help you. When the truth is, if you can just change some of your lifestyle factors, you can help yourself better, which is what we advocate.
Well, could you take us up with some examples, maybe some people that have been helped in some way through changing their lifestyles? And we also have your co-organizer here, Gilad Mir, as well. Gil, are you able to turn your webcam on, mate?
Yeah, just a moment.
Right. Well, while he does that, I'll tell you about me and the way that I learned to be able to help other people with that. And that was that what happens is that your depression is caused by a chemical imbalance. And so the doctors go in and they go, cool, you've got a chemical imbalance. Here's some drugs. But the problem with that is that the drugs, all they do is mask the symptoms of depression. They don't actually cure the cause of depression. And so what we need to do is go and cure the cause. And I went to a whole bunch of doctors who told me that I should take some pills. And I didn't want to. And it wasn't until my sixth doctor, my psychologist, and he said to me, you have a chemical imbalance that's causing your depression. And I said, do we have to take some drugs to fix that? And he's like, no, we can just fix that by changing your lifestyle. And I was like what? And so he said to me, you have too much cortisol and not enough serotonin. And cortisol is your stress hormone, and serotonin is your happy drug. And that's basically the imbalance. And he said, with cortisol, the way that you get cortisol out of your body is through crying or peeing. And so he looked at me and he said, so your new motto is pee your way through the day. And I prescribe you 2 liters of water a day. And that will get all that stress hormone out of your body. It's like, okay, like, cool. And then on the other side, the serotonin. The serotonin is produced in the gut by your liver. And in order to make the serotonin, it needs protein. And it only makes makes serotonin from 3 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon. And so basically he says you need to have 30 grams of protein within 30 minutes of getting up to maximize your serotonin production over the day. And so that pops that up, brings your cortisol down, balances you out. And there's a few other little stress things and lifestyle tips that he gave me, but those were the two of the main things that helped me get better from depression just by changing my lifestyle.
See, now this is something that I do find very interesting, is that they'll call it a chemical imbalance, and for some doctors the chemical imbalance can only be corrected by chemicals, yet whereas for others it's actually just naturally balancing out the body that can stop these conditions from really kind of plaguing your life. Gil, you're there, aren't you? Welcome to the program.
Hi, Vinny. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Have you got anything to contribute to the conversation here, or are you just kind of sitting in?
I'm actually more just listening because, I'm still learning. I mean, I've been through my ups and downs as well, cried myself to sleep many, many nights in the course of my life. But I just remember the one incident which I'm actually seeing being repeated over and over again in youth and younger people, is that I went through a bit of a tough time when I was about 20. Naturally occurring tough time, basic challenge in life. And of course, my mom being worried took me to the doctor, and the doctor wrote a piece of paper, and that piece of paper entailed the use of using Paroxetine, or Arapex, which is the brand name. I don't think I've ever been the same since I took those for that 6 or 7 month period. I've never really quite, I feel like anxiety's been part of my life ever since I took those things, and I don't think I should have been on them in the first place. I'm seeing this happen with 18, 19, 20-year-old kids all the time now, and I just really don't think it's right, because simple things like going out, having fun, exercising, meeting people, enjoying communal spaces is not something I ever hear doctors saying to these kids, but rather they say you need to see someone, you've got this issue, you need drugs, such. And to me, that's a massive, massive no-no. I've seen people go on downward spirals as a result, not have secondary checkups after they're given these brain-altering substances. You know, like, cool, assume, here you go, here's the chemical, it'll fix you up. But suddenly they're on a downward spiral, and as happened to someone I know, they ended up committing suicide about 6 months down the track, and the doctor having sort of no knowledge of his downward spiral.
See, this is something that I also wanted to iterate during this conversation, is that if you look at the listed side effects, they come with these little pullouts, and they're folded up many, many, many times, kind of like I don't know how they manage to fold these things out. Maybe the warning labels are sort of a practice in origami for some reason. You're capable of unfurling and unfolding them like an ancient Dead Sea scroll or something. They just get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger with a list of side effects that just makes the mind reel. And you think to yourself, okay, here's my symptoms. I'm not feeling very happy. Here's the possible side effects. Kill people that are close to me. Kill myself. debilitating stomach cramps, memory loss, liver failure, kidney failure, and these are just a few of the bad ones. You know, there's so many side effects, and every single time when I've seen people get prescribed these medications, the doctors don't know these side effects, and if they do, they keep their fracking mouth shut about it.
And you know why they keep their mouth shut? Because they get kickbacks on prescribing them.
It's true. It's a financial incentive. I had Nicola Grace from Health Freedom New Zealand. She said that, don't quote me on this, or her for that matter, but New Zealand doctors are capable of receiving up to $125,000 in kickbacks from the pharmaceutical industry per year before having to declare anything. Something around there, right? And that's often more than their yearly income anyway. So it's actually really just a money spinner, and we're the ones being spun. They're the ones getting the money.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about the program that you actually wish to promote here. You're having some kind of event coming up soon?
Yeah, so we've got our charity Live More Awesome, and you can go check out what we do at livemoreawesome.com. And like I said, we put a whole bunch of stuff together in order to help people with depression through natural means. But we're having a fundraiser at the moment. And here in New Zealand, when you have a fundraiser, you have a sausage sizzle or a charity golf day or something like that. But we've gone a little bit more awesome for our charity fundraiser. And we are building the world's biggest water slide.
How long is that water slide?
That water slide is over 650 meters long. And for our American friends, that's 2,133 feet.
33, eh? Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have this thing about the number 33. It always comes up every single day for me. I don't know why, don't know how, but it does. And I also wanted to think about this. Like, you could be sliding for half a kilometre. Where exactly are you building this? Is it like on the side of some gigantic mountain range or something of that nature? What the hell's going on here?
We're basically, we put it out there on Facebook, and when we were first concepting the idea, and simply said, look, We need a piece of land that that will fit this slide. And Gil over here put it out on his, and we ended up with a friend of his, and they have this piece of land that has water at the top. It has a basin at the bottom and is just a perfect gradient to send us hurtling down the hill at breakneck speeds.
Okay. Well, something's bound to give. I mean, if you're not feeling very good by the time you start down the water slide, by the time you get to the end, you'll be so exhilarated, you'll forget you're depressed, right? Is that the methodology here?
Yeah, well, it's actually got a few pieces of methodology. One, yes, that's exactly true. Like, who can't get excited about the world's biggest water slide? Really. It's just a happy thing. But it's got some science behind it too, in terms of first of all, vitamin D is a big thing that helps people with depression, so actually getting outside into the sun. Then one of the other big things is having a goal and something to look forward to. That's what you find with a lot of depressed people, is that they've got no ambition anymore. They've lost that. They need to have something to look forward to. And so we're simply giving them something to look forward to. Another part of getting over being depressed is having a support network and having people that you can talk to. And so what we're getting is just everyone volunteering to come and help us, come and be involved. They're joining our online community, and they're all talking with each other and helping each other get better. And so not only is it a fun way to raise some money for the charity, it's got some benefits for the average person too.
Mm. And I'm particularly pleased that the charity money isn't going to be going to the big pharmaceutical companies like all the rest of the charities surrounding depression do. That really Fs me off.
Yeah. The same, I mean, I did a thing last year called Lilo the Waikato, and to translate that into Americanese, Basically, I paddled an air mattress down the longest river in New Zealand. And they did a story on me on the basically the 7 o'clock primetime show, Close Up. And in the ads of my story, they had a woman standing down next to a river saying, "Are you depressed? You should buy some of this drug."
They had
gone and sold that spot.
Well, guys, unfortunately, we've only got 15 seconds left in this segment. Do you want to join us for one more segment, another 15 to 12 minutes, if you can spare it, because I know that you're very busy organising this.
Sure, we can make that happen.
All right, cool. Well, we're coming to break now. Ladies and gentlemen, Jimmy Hunt and Gilad Mir from, what's the website again? Something awesome?
LiveMoreAwesome.com.
LiveMoreAwesome.com. Okay, we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you go anywhere, and don't worry, we definitely will be back. Don't be sad about it. Back in a moment.
But I've never been edible. I'm a cracker, not a vegetable, fed to an extraterrestrial. The beat is so electrical, it'll pump your heart ventricles. But I bet you will eject it if I start getting intellectual.
Welcome back.
Incredible. So until I can say I'm credible, I'll say that I'm incredible.
That's the adults only Teletubbies theme song. I'm just joking.
Have you noticed, Gil? Gilad Mir, I don't know if anybody knows who he is, but if you go to shiftevents.co.nz, he puts on he was helping another guy named Craig Koenig put on these great parties called shift parties. And I remember the first night at a shift party that I ever did, I was filming for them, and I drank too much very, very quickly and was passed out by about, I think, maybe before midnight. And there were all these really nice people who were helping me, getting me water and helping, you know, moving me around from position to position and that kind of thing. And I didn't know why all these people were suddenly so nice and friendly and helping me and what have you. And even though I was supposed to be there being paid to film it and everything like that, Gil actually gave me some money for a taxi and popped me in one and sent me on home. And then still paid me for the gig afterwards anyway. So that's the kind of man he is. And I haven't I haven't had quite an experience like that at any dance party ever in my life. It's just so loving, so caring, so cool. So it's natural that he'd probably get involved in a project like the most awesome water slide ever. Now,
thank you.
Getting on to the topics here, we really do need to plug again. The event, so Jimmy, if you would, and then I've got a question to ask you.
Excellent. Well, basically we're raising money for the charity, so we are selling tickets to this event. We've got top New Zealand DJs, musicians playing. We've got entertainment, we've got food, and all that sort of carry on. And
could you give us some of the names of the DJs and entertainers?
No, we can't. Just yet, it's a secret lineup at the moment. But if you go over to worldsbiggestwaterslide.com, you can click through there and go to our Indiegogo page. So it's indiegogo.com/worldsbiggestwaterslide, and that's where we're raising our money. And if I have a look right now, we have managed to get 29,084 dollars raised so far, and we've still got a few weeks left on that, and so people can buy tickets and come along. And if they are not in the Auckland area over the 23rd and 24th of February, they can just go on there and either donate, or they can buy a rubber ducky, because we're having a rubber ducky race down the thing, and they'll win a prize with that. So that's what we're doing over there.
Is it going to be like a rally, like you get timed from the how long it takes you to get down, or is the water slide so wide as well that you can actually have people coming down it simultaneously and like going past each other and stuff?
No, so basically think of it like a bobsled track. If you guys go over to our Facebook page, Live More Awesome, I do a tour of the slide from our first day of construction. And so basically it's about a meter wide and it's about 400 millimeters deep and built like a bobsled track. So there will be timed runs on the day. So we'll find out who can go the fastest over the course. And we'll also have a speed camera there too that will tell us just how fast you're going down the bottom of the straight.
Okay, now in terms of it's being the biggest water slide in the world, are you going to have somebody from Guinness Book of World Records there or something like that?
Guinness being the lovely, useless pricks that they are, do not...
Well, sorry, Jimmy, you just cut out there. I think maybe we're being hacked by Guinness. Could you say that again?
Better? No, I'm lost you completely. Maybe that's my fault.
Oh, no, wait, there we go. You're sweet.
All right, cool. Sorry, what was your question?
You were talking about Guinness and how they're not going to be there.
Yeah, so basically Guinness don't have a record. They don't feel like making a record for water slides. And so in our own research, the current world record for the world's biggest water slide is about 350 metres, and our one is 650 metres. So we're almost doubling it.
Right. So Guinness Book of World Records has records for a guy who can bend a frying pan in half, but they don't have records for water slides.
Yeah, we're petitioning them at the moment to get off their ass and come out here.
Yeah, you got to love big organisations, eh? All right.
Yep. That was the
Speaking of which, we just cracked in an article. One of my listeners posted it in the Vinnie Eastwood Show Facebook group today from Psychology Today. Physical illnesses may soon be labelled mental disorders. All right. Dig this. This is the new DSM, the Diagnostic Statistical Manual, which I know you don't like very much, Jimmy, and that's because, well, it's evil and crazy. Criteria number one, disproportionate thoughts about the seriousness of their symptoms. Criteria two, a high level anxiety about their symptoms or health. Or criteria three, devoting excessive time and energy to their symptoms of health concerns. So, if you are concerned about your health, you're mental. If you are seriously concerned about your health, you're mental. If you think about your health on a constant basis, you're mental. That's what these people are saying. Do you have any idea how many drugs you could prescribe to anybody who's even remotely concerned about their... Oh, you're concerned about your health? Here, have something that kills you. This will save you. And I don't like the fact that in these manuals here, the DSM 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or whatever, they keep bringing it out like new additions, like for some reason humanity's capable of manifesting like an extra 50 different mental disorders per edition, right? And I found out that the way that they've get these conditions... I'm apparently cutting out a little bit. Apparently, the way they get these conditions in the Diagnostic Statistical Manual in there is by a show of hands, right? No microscopes, no blood tests, no double-blind trials, just a whole group of people who are financially connected to the industry saying, hey, do you want to be able to prescribe drugs from this thing that we made up? Yeah. Okay, guys. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll just say goodbye to you then, and I think we can probably get this sorted else time. Sorry about this. Really, really sorry. And also apologize to the listeners. Technical glitches, that kind of thing. They can really be pretty nasty. All right. Well, they've said pretty much everything they need to say anyway. All right. So I'll just continue to rant. Because this is something that did actually affect me massively, particularly before I started becoming a radio show host, ladies and gentlemen. I keep getting reconnected by the studio. I don't know what's going on. Can you hear me, AFR? Hello? Hello? Can you hear me? You know, some indication would be nice. I don't know if anybody else on listening onto the airwaves can hear me. No audio there at all either. Okay. Technical issues. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what's going on. Don't know if you can hear me. In fact, I know that you can't. Okay, never mind. I don't have any other programs open. Nothing should be messing this up like it is. Okay. Anyway, I am recording this, so it'll at least be up elsewhere. And I apologize again to the listeners. Frack. Because this is just terrible listening, isn't it? When somebody's saying, oh, I'm sorry. There's technical issues. I can't do anything about it. It makes me appear quite retarded. Okay. Well, look at it this way. At least I'm not as retarded as the psychotic psychiatrists who vote on whether or not somebody's got a disease as opposed to leeching up some kind of verification on a scientific basis. That's pretty sad anyway, isn't it? Okay. I'm being told that my breakup on my voice is really, really bad. I don't know what to do about it, but here's an article for you anyway from the New Zealand Herald. Plea: give us a miracle drug. Why don't people pray to God anymore for miracles? You know, they pray to the psychiatric industry as if they are God. They think of themselves like that anyway. Andrea Murphy says Solaris has let her resume a normal life. Without it, she would be dead. Daniel Webby and son Wu, 6, age... says Pharmac must ensure people get life-saving treatments. Now, this is about blood pressure and stuff of that nature. It's not actually specifically about psychiatric drugs, of course. Andrea Murphy says her life has been saved from a killer blood disease by an expensive miracle drug and is pleading for Pharmac to approve state funding for it and 7 others at a cost of $4 million. As opposed to finding some kind of herbological or naturopathic solution, which costs a heck of a lot less, doesn't require huge quantities of research and verification, and also putting money into the pockets of the gargantuan pharmaceutical industry that profit off your fracking death. Okay? That's really the problem here with our society, is that we expect other people to solve our problems for us, instead of us actually trying to understand the problems we're facing and solving them ourselves. Okay? That's the real problem I've found. Everybody's looking for some kind of savior. And I've got news for you. Nobody's gonna save you. You really do have to save yourself. Take some personal responsibility. Have a look at your life. Is your lifestyle in some way connected to what's happening inside your body and inside your mind? Absolutely. There are many, 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 many ways to improve yourself without the use of drugs. Okay? If you've got heart problems or whatever, even the HB extract and things of that nature work really, really well. It's quite sad when you think about the reality of it, of just how driven society is to have this savior mentality. And the irony is that the people we go to save us from things that are a real problem are usually the ones who caused the problem in the first place. And there's nothing we can do to really change that fact. However, there is an opportunity here to recognize the truth that these people are not out to save your life. They are there to profit off of destroying it. The rule of thumb is, everybody who's out there to do one thing, especially in the case of officialdom, is in fact doing pretty much the direct opposite. Okay? If a government says we're here to protect your freedoms, oh, okay, well, they must be here to destroy my freedoms. If a doctor is there, I'm here to make you healthy, he's actually there to destroy your health. If there is some kind of, I don't know, road worker who says, I'm here to improve your roading systems and everything like that, he's there to actually mess up your roading system so that you continue to need him to fix up all the stuff that he doesn't do properly. We'll be right back at thevinnieeswoodshow.com.
I got some so-called friends. They'll smile right to my face.
Yes, they do.
All when my back is turned.
They like this break chemtrails all over the place. Without a trace. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The final segment of the first hour here. I'm supposed to be having on David Griffin from Exopolitics UK on in the next segment, but it does not look like he's there. So instead, we're going to do something much more fun. We're going to have callers. So if the topics of depression or scumbaggery interests you, and you would like to speak with me on the air, the number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. Okay. So, there was something I did want to reiterate, and I'm not sure if people heard this when I said it in the final segment, but here's the article. From Psychology Today, physical illnesses may soon be labeled mental disorders. And there's three criteria for that. Criteria one, disproportionate thoughts about the seriousness of their symptoms. We just call that hypochondria, don't we? Criteria two, a level of anxiety about their symptoms of health. If you're sick, isn't it kind of healthy to have a little bit of anxiety about it and want to get something done about it? And criteria three, devoting excessive time and energy to their symptoms or health concerns. So if you've got cancer and you're going to, let's say, a hospital or something like that, and you're trying to cure yourself on a constant basis so that you don't die, that's a mental disorder. These people are crazy. This is what the DSM, the Diagnostic Statistical Manual, which had no scientific evidence whatsoever, okay, you ask a real doctor, somebody who actually has, you know, pathology and that kind of training about all of this, you say, okay, is there any scientific evidence that's verifiable about any of this kind of stuff? They go, none, doesn't exist. First call up, Nathan in the 480 area code, I believe. Welcome to the show.
How you doing, Benny?
I'm good, man. You're a bit crackly in the background there. You got bacon cooking on the stove or something?
Driving, and I was trying to pull over by the time you picked me up there, but I'll pull over as soon as I can. I guess the scumbaggery and the depression is because we don't have a solution, right? We all can't figure out at the end of the day what to do about it. And so anytime I call in, I try to put out the right of self-determination in international law. And the book called Law of Nations by Vattel. And that's the current approach I'm taking to see if there's any possibility that maybe I can gain immunities in business affairs, maybe even come up with my own constitution, to be able to complement relations rather than butt heads with relations. So I just kind of wanted to put that out. I don't know if you guys can hear me very well or not. I apologize about that.
I can hear you just fine, man. When you're in the media sphere, what I notice a lot of people say about
radio talk show hosts or the news is that show us the solutions, tell us the solutions. Well, interestingly enough, that's not actually a journalist's job. A journalist's job is to tell you what the problems are, and you're the one who's supposed to come up with the solutions. You know, everybody's playing their part sort of thing. And I think what is really the matter with society is these things that you say. You know, people don't really have their own kind of constitution, their own rules that are unwavering, unbending. And it's, essentially, it's kind of like having a lack of moral fiber is indeed rewarded. Usually with money or promotions or things of that nature. And being a person of conscience who is dictated, essentially, by doing the right thing, they're the ones who get hated. They're the ones who get fired. They're the ones who get discriminated against. The whole world's freaking upside down, isn't it, Nathan?
Yes, and we've got to come out of that. Like, for instance, I'm a landscaper and I'm self-employed and, you know, I've got a little bit of history with, you know, like a DUI from, marijuana, you know, and, you know, it's probably on my record and I'm not to say that I I'm not going to let that prevent me getting a job, but I don't really want to get a job. I enjoy working by myself and being able to listen to podcasts all day. It might make my wife mad that I don't bring home as much money as we possibly could, but solutions like aquaponics, which, you know, it's like you got to convince somebody who has a pool to drain their pool, fill it up with a couple thousand gallons of water, just in the deep end and put some tilapia in there and make the rest of the area of the pool, you know, their food that, you know, and it's a great idea. It's going to save everybody money. You know, your $350 some odd dollar, you know, grocery bill a month can really be chopped down and you can actually be connected to your food source. That's a solution. So I'd like to put that out in the air. It's very hard for me to convince somebody to do that, you know, with their pool because, you know, they'd rather just dump money into it so that they can go and swim sometimes in the summer, you know. Go ahead.
That's funny, Nathan. My neighbor has a pool, and I've been here for 6 months. The summer 6 months, and they clean their pool every second day, and they've used the pool once,
right?
During the time in the summer when you would most likely be using your pool, they've used it once. You know what uses their pool more than the people who own it and clean it every day? The ducks, the local ducks. Right. They actually sit, they fly in. And just kind of like paddle around in their pool kind of thing, and they're like, ah, it's nice and clean. Ah. Even saw them having sex in there and kind of thing. I hope they clean the pool after that. But I don't get it. I would love it if these pools would be used for something useful. I mean, it's just, have you noticed, Nathan, in your own life, how much we spend maintaining things that we don't need or use?
Every day I'm trying to get it to where I can start making edible landscapes, you know, for customers. But they'll sit there and, you know, play the devil's advocate, you know, just because they can, you know. It's like, why would I want to do that, you know? Well, you know, why you got to be a dick? Pardon my French. Didn't mean to say that. Anyways,
I think it's appropriate, but I must apologize to the affiliates and FCC regulators. But anyway, continue.
If the money goes away and things, you know, we can't afford food anymore, you know, it's going to be too late. you know, right now is the time that people need to have the fire underneath them, you know, propelling them to do things like that. You know, so everything that I'm doing in my life extracurricularly is involved in volunteerism in my community. There is an actual website. I don't know if you mind me putting it out. It's oh, yeah. local here for me. It's called gardenpool.org. And they have demonstrated an aquaponic system in their pool, and they have continued on the process, doing it for other people who decide to take the plunge into that. It works. Whether you've got a pool or not, even if you have a 300 square foot backyard or a balcony, you know, aquaponics is really the way to go. So as far as agriculture, the old ways of agriculture aren't necessary any longer. We can take back the control of our food source, if we so want to. As well as energy, I'm sure, and everything else, if the general public so wants to. But it always comes down to the acquiescence, and that's why I mentioned the Law of Nations initially, and the right of self determination. Because I don't go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Continue. So just finish your point, please.
Okay, I just want, what it comes down to is like, it's either we got to make up our own little countries and or constitutions through this right of self-determination. I don't even know if that's even possible, but that's some arguments that are being made lately. It's what the founding fathers of America supposedly did. Either that, you know, or it's anarchy, or it's somewhere in the middle. And I would love to be able to just hear more people talking and doing and having connected discourse, trying to figure out, you know, what the answer for that is, what the solution for that is, where we can do that. And I guess it really, when it comes down to it, it's just practically applying all.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, and Nathan, thank you for your call. At the end of the day, it's not about the masses. You know what the masses have changed throughout history? Nothing. They've never, ever, ever changed anything. The majority of people have never been involved in something that makes the world a better place. It's always the small, determined minority, in other words, the individuals, like you, Nathan, that make the true difference. We'll be right back.